Mm-hmm. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you in worship in person and also online. We're in a new season of the church here. We begin the season of Advent. So if you were planning a trip to Tahoe, let's say, in the wintertime, how would you prepare for that trip? Even if it's just a day trip, what could possibly happen on the way there or on the way back that you might want to be prepared for? Snow, right? Cooler temperatures, icy roads, road closures, so you want more than fumes in your gas tank, maybe a little extra food and water, right? You take steps to prepare. When it comes to preparing for Christmas or for the Lord's second return, what are some steps outside of weekly worship that you take to keep yourself prepared to celebrate Christmas or to be ready for the Lord's return? God gives us opportunities to be prepared. In fact, this Advent, we're going to look at some Advent moments, we'll call them. The Advent moment for today has to do with His mercy. His mercy is not to be ignored. And now with that thought in mind, I invite your attention to the middle of page 3 as we continue with our invocation. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
His love endures forever.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
We worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us worship Him.
Please stand. What does God tell us about ourselves in His holy word?
He says that we are sinners and deserve only His punishment.
When we realize that we have sinned against God and deserve His punishment, what should we do?
We will confess before God all our sins, those which we remember, as well as those which we are unaware. We pray to God for his mercy and forgiveness.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Jesus says to his people, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. His death paid for the guilt of your sins and the sins of the whole world. Do you believe this?
Yes, I believe.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord.
Let us pray.
Stir up your power, O Lord, and come. Protect us by your strength and save us from the threatening dangers of our sins.
For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. For this first Sunday in Advent, a reading from Holy Scripture, Genesis 19, a reminder that if we hesitate, we lose. Thankfully, the Lord God has intervened so that we do not have to lose. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife with your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand in the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city. for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back, and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away." By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land, like smoke from a furnace. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. The word of the Lord. Being blameless is the goal. Is that how the Lord God will find you when he returns? A reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Thessalonians 3. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. The word of the Lord. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out! Who was ever given to God that God should repay him? Please stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 21st chapter, an encouragement to always watch and pray, for we know that this present world will be going away. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we continue with our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, and this thankfully through our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The celebration of whose birth we look forward to celebrating once again. We hear once again these words from Holy Scripture, the book of Genesis. When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand in the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who still is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who will return a second time, but gave us Christmas to be prepared for that second coming. What advice have you been given over the years, through the years, that has stuck with you? Maybe it has stuck with you because you ignored it at first, but then later on, you took up that advice. Or maybe it's sticking with you because you ignored that advice, and because you ignored it then, you missed out on an opportunity that could have enhanced your life here on earth. What advice have you given out that has been ignored to your frustration or even has hurt you? But you don't go as far as telling the other person, "I told you so." Or perhaps that advice you gave out was followed and good has been the result. God gives us advice, no doubt. He gives advice to all of His creation. And what do way too many people, including you and me on more than one occasion, do with the advice that He gives to us? No, we ignore it. We sit on it. We miss out on the good that He wants to put into our life by doing so. Do you think God, on the last day, is going to go up to people and say, "I told you so, but you did not listen"? God is not a vengeful God, but He is a just God. So God has put each one of us in a position to take the advice that He has given and not only follow it ourselves, but pass it along to others. The advice that He has given to us helps us endure through this life and to be prepared, ready for the life after death. Now, some of this advice that we are to heed, to follow ourselves, and then to also pass along can be wrapped up in our first of several Advent moments. Today's Advent moment can be summed up with these words: don't ignore God's mercy. The reason for this is pretty simple as well. Hesitate and lose, or embrace and win. He almost lost. Lot, that is, together with his family. He hesitated, but God was merciful, not because of who Lot was, not just because of who Abraham was and had asked for mercy, but because this is who God is. There were warning signs that Lot was not living in a good place. Remember that context of Lot and Abraham choosing where to go, where to settle? And Abraham let Lot choose first? And what did Lot base his findings on, his choice? This land looked good and fertile. And it was for his crops. He was looking at the earthly monetary benefits. And where to make that money? Well, there was something else going on. Immorality that we still see going on today. It was celebrated then. Can't say if it's celebrated more today than then. But it did get to a point then that God had to take action against those cities where Lot was living. Not only did you have sexuality of different kinds and it being celebrated and open, you had idolatry. Then in addition to idolatry, ignoring the true God of creation and his advice on sexuality, which then would come with consequences then and for all eternity, there was disrespect. Lot had guests in his house. And what did the townspeople want to do with those guests? They wanted to practice some of their sexuality on those guests. No respect for life, no respect for God, no respect for these visitors. Even got to the point where Lot said, "Take my daughters rather than these guests." No respect for his own children. We think we're living in some unpleasant, dark times. The warning signs were there for Lot. In addition to those three, hatred abounded and violence. And so the Lord God, out of mercy, was going to rescue Lot and his family from all of that. But Lot hesitated. Why? Well, he got used to the lifestyle around him. His daughters were about to marry people from that area. And when Lot tried to warn his sons-in-law to be about the dangers that were coming, they refused. So Lot hesitated. Having become attached to the things of this world, and it almost cost him. But in mercy, God spared him and his family from that. How about you? Have you found yourself attached to the ways of this world, indifferent, excusing what's all going on? And we have to recognize there's only so much that we can do, but do we make excuses for it? We know sexuality, for example, that was going on back in that day and which Paul talks about in Romans 1 and 2 and the Lord addresses in 1 Corinthians 6, for example, that those who practice such sexuality will not inherit heaven. Just like any active sin, unrepentant will not inherit heaven. We know it's wrong, perhaps when we're sitting in the pew or in our sofa at home, until it hits closer to home. Well then, Lord, you didn't really mean what you said in the Bible, did you? I mean, that is my niece after all. So it must be okay, because I love my niece, and I don't want to hurt my niece. So if she wants to practice that, that's okay. Why was it wrong in general, but now when it gets specific, it's okay. Wrong is wrong, sin is sin. And he who hesitates and stays attached to that sin loses. What else do we see taking place in our world that causes people to hesitate and become attached to this world that they just might lose? Not just the things of this world, but paradise for eternity. Self-gratification, which all leads then to practicing the sexuality of different kinds. We're going to please ourselves. We're not concerned about what God has to say. We're not concerned about that little child that we're harming. We're not concerned about going against God's creation. And the more we go against God's advice, which is more than just advice, do we see hatred ramping down? No, we see hatred ramping up. Because the people who sin against God deep down do know that they are doing something wrong and need us who speak against it to welcome it and try to force us to accept it. Redoing the definition of tolerance. So hatred is nothing new. Disrespect is nothing new. Anytime we go against the commands of God, His advice, we're going to find such things. And he who hesitates, he who remains in that unrepentant sin, loses. The judgment is real. Sodom and Gomorrah, a sign from the past that God is serious about sin and judgment. Those cities existed no more. But the warning signs were there first because God is a God of mercy. And the warning signs are all around us too in our day and age because God is a God of mercy. But pretty soon His mercy will run out for this time and age. And judgment will come and it will be permanent. Hell is not a joking matter. Thus the warning, hesitate and lose. And so we shouldn't act surprised when there are consequences with sin, with the actions that we do that are not God-pleasing. We shouldn't be surprised now, day to day, and we will not be surprised for sure at the end of time. No one can say, Lord, you did not give me a sign or didn't warn me that this is where I was going to end up if I hesitated and ignored your word. God could say, I told you so. And perhaps He will, but not in a flippant way. So, dear friends, let's make sure we, by the grace of God, continue to embrace His mercy, His advice to us, and not only embrace it ourselves, but pass it along as we can so that we can embrace His mercy and win. That mercy starts with God. That mercy starts with calling out sin. Confessing our sin as we did publicly at the beginning of our service, but also privately every day. Daily contrition and repentance, sorrow over our sins, and not just being sorry in a flippant way, but also contrite about that. Lord, I know I messed up, and I don't want to keep messing up. Have mercy on me and give me the strength through your mercy to do what is right. It's going to be a struggle at times. But God's mercy is powerful and can enable us to do what we think is impossible to do on our own. At the heart of that mercy, in addition to contrition and repentance, a desire to not continually live in that sin, is the motivation, the cross of Christ, where Jesus has taken all of our sins of sexuality and idolatry and disrespect and hatred and self-gratification and violence in thought, word, and deed. He has taken that to the cross. And he said, it's finished. All those sins are paid for. They will not be held against you. Forgiven. What a huge declaration for our life. And what huge motivation for our life. To continually embrace God's mercy and win. And now what does that forgiveness and embracing lead us to do? As Jesus did for us, interceded for us. It leads us to intercede for others, to follow the example of Abraham, who challenged God and said, God, even if you can find 10 people in Sodom and Gomorrah, then don't destroy that land. And the Lord said, okay, if I can find 10, couldn't even find 10. When Abraham looked and saw the smoke, he knew. And he wasn't upset with God because he knew God was merciful, and he would be more upset with the fact that he couldn't even find 10. And then would also be upset over the fact that Lot's wife, who was warned, don't look back, did. Because too, she was attached and curious, and it cost her instant death. Also in this section, Lot had an intercession moment too with those angels that God had sent. You know, where you want us to go to that mountain's a little far? Can we just go to this city? And his intercession was heard. That's an example again for us to intercede on behalf of others. Now, when you intercede on behalf of someone else, just like with Abraham, the Lord hears, but it may not end up with the result that you want. Do you give up? No, you continually intercede for that person or people or for another situation. God wants us to intercede on behalf of others, so that they will not ignore his mercy, but rather embrace it and win for the long term. Follow the advice that the Lord gives us in Ezekiel 33, for example, the watchman in the watchtower. You see the enemy coming. What are you supposed to do? Ignore it? No, you call out. If the people ignore your calling out, that's on them, not on you. But if you don't call it out and disaster strikes, it's on both of you. Intercession on behalf of others is important. It's important to direct people to God's mercy, that mercy which provides hope. Hope to endure the now as we live amongst all the sexuality and the idolatry and the violence and the hatred. How can we endure? By God's mercy, we can endure. By God's mercy, we can speak up at the appropriate opportunities to warn people to not hesitate to embrace God's mercy. The way to do so is so clear. God has given us his means of grace, the gospel and word and sacrament, to embrace that mercy and to keep that mercy close to us, to live in it. And all the more reason to do so, because we know what's ahead. Every day we get one day closer. The aches and pains in our body remind us that we get one day closer to that time where we're going to have to face the Lord face to face. And by his mercy, we can be and will be blameless before him, but only because of his mercy. How important it is then to continually embrace his mercy as we're doing here today, worshiping him with our fellow believers, taking the time to enhance that mercy throughout the week by daily devotion So many ways to do that. So as we continue on this Advent season, who needs to hear this Advent moment from your lips to not ignore God's mercy? Who do you need to keep on interceding on behalf of? Dear friends, keep being that salt and light that God has enabled you to be. Again, Christmas is a great time of the year to talk about the most important and precious gift, a true sign of God's mercy in our life, mercy that is needed and not to be ignored. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. For our confession of faith, we turn to the top of page 8. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. What are we meaning to say with these words?
I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord.
He has redeemed us, lost and condemned creatures, purchased and won us from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with His holy, precious blood, and with His innocent suffering and death.
All this He did that I should be His own, and live under Him in His kingdom, and serve Him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as He has risen from death, and lives and rules eternally.
This is most certainly true. Please be seated. We turn now to the prayer of the church. Eternal Father, throughout the centuries, You repeated and affirmed Your promise to send the offspring of the woman to crush the serpent's head. Through Your prophets of old, You continually directed the eyes of Your people to the advent of their Savior.
We praise You, Lord, for keeping Your promise and sending Your Son to destroy the works of the devil.
As we prepare to celebrate the birth of our King, use Your mighty word to shatter our pride and to rouse us from spiritual slumber and apathy.
Move us to take to heart the words of John. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here.
You sent Your Son to redeem us from sin. Let this good news be our joy and strength. Use it to cheer the lonely, encourage the fearful, and give hope to the despairing. In these days before Christmas, spare us from the stress of deadlines and the frenzy of commercialism.
Fill our lives with the message of Your peace and the music of Your grace.
Direct our eyes not only to the manger, but also to the skies, where we will see Your Son coming again, not as a lowly child, but as the Lord of Lords.
Lift up our hearts in joyful anticipation of that day.
O God, by Your Spirit, teach us carefully and deliberately to weigh in our hearts the matter of Christian giving, that our gifts ever reflect the great debt of love we owe You. Forgive us where we fail in our duties as Christian stewards, keeping for ourselves what we ought to give. Help our offerings and gifts to be such as are pleasing to You. For Jesus' sake we ask this. We also ask You, O Lord, to watch over Mary Bartelt as she is scheduled for a medical procedure this week. May this procedure bring about the desired outcome. Also be with Greg Wheezy as he is dealing with health issues. Bring healing to his body. Above all, refresh our sister and brother in faith with the good news of sins forgiven, as Your mercy remains new each day for both of them and us all. We thank You, Lord, for those who are able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. Continue to shower them with Your blessings. May those among us celebrating a wedding anniversary be renewed in their love for each other, reflecting this in their words and actions. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, in your grace, in your power, and in your glory.
Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
We also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Pray. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. What's a great thing is that God's not going to keep us out of heaven because we didn't stand up for that last hymn. Positive. Positive. God bless your Advent moments, your traditions associated with Advent and Christmas. May those traditions, since it's brought up a couple times with me, may those traditions, though, not stand in the way of someone hearing the good news of Jesus Christ, because that would be a shame. To help us celebrate God's mercy and to embrace it more and more, we have Bible studies taking place this morning. We're continuing to take a look at Martin Luther and his appreciation of the gospel. Talk about someone who did not have it, but then by God's grace was able to have it and then fight for it, to stand up, even sitting down for God's mercy and his truth. So we embrace that opportunity. We're looking at 1 Peter in the teen class this morning. Sunday school begins in the chapel at 9:15. Again, as always, you're welcome to join them at the beginning for the singing of various songs. We do have a midweek Advent service coming up this coming Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Supper at 5:30. So keep that in mind. We do have a call meeting later today after the second service. We'll be calling for two teachers, one for kindergarten and one for junior K. Advent by candlelight, that's tonight. There's more info about that in the weekly news. So you're welcome to start arriving at 6 o'clock. River City Chorale, they'll be using our facility next Sunday at 4 o'clock for their Christmas concert. They always do a beautiful job, and they're happy to be back in person. Please do, though, read the weekly news for a disclaimer regarding attendance at this concert. That disclaimer is from the River City Chorale. And then just again, look at the weekly news for other information going on. Have a great day and week in the Lord. Embrace his mercy, for you have won because of that mercy. Thank you.